brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. Welcome back to The Natural Beauty Show. This week we're going to look back on some of the best bits of the show so far. We've covered some really insightful topics like vegan beauty, clean beauty, the menopause, climate change and sustainability. And we've heard from some fantastic guests. So let's recap on some of the most engaging information that's been highlighted.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Today we're going to be focusing on an area that is not only of vital importance to beauty, but in fact all industries across the whole globe, and that's sustainability. How often do you pick up your deodorant stick or shower gel and consider that there's a whole process that has happened to bring that product into its final destination, your home? And those processes can have both a negative and positive effect upon our planet and the people upon it. With the UK Climate Change Conference happening in Glasgow in around 3 weeks' time, we have the world leaders descending upon the UK, and there is quite rightly huge pressure being placed upon multiple industries to evolve their methods of manufacture, packaging and transportation to allow for better, safer, greener and cleaner practices.
Well, it is such an important topic, and yes, COP26 is just around the corner, and all, as you say, all businesses have to act, and we all have to act and do our bit. I think what the really positive thing is that the industry, the beauty and cosmetics and personal care industry, is well on that journey. Perhaps it doesn't shout about it enough, and perhaps that's something that we should encourage certainly CQPA members to do. It's doing a huge amount already. It's not job done, of course not. But in particular, obviously with our products, the most important thing that companies need to be doing and are starting to do is look at their formulation, make sure that they are sourcing their ingredients from renewable feedstocks, like moving away from fossil fuels, although we've moved away from those in general anyway in the industry. Looking at our packaging, that's an important part of our product. We have to protect our packages, and we also have legal obligations to put certain information on our packaging. But what can we do to make sure that that packaging is as efficient as it possibly can incorporate as much recycled product as it can, and also making it all as recyclable as possible. And obviously recycling is very important in part of the circular economy, but it's not just the only R, there's also reuse and refill. Mm-hmm. And again, as an industry, we're very innovative, and we're working towards making sure how we can work with our consumers, work and collaborate to make sure that our consumers can have a great experience with the products that we all use and love every day, but know that we're doing it in a sustainable way. So perhaps helping people to reuse, helping to refill. And refill is really popular at the moment. Yeah. A great initiative for dry products. Perhaps it has its more challenges for wet products, and quite a lot of our cosmetic products are wet, and we have to make sure that our products are safe, and part of that is making sure that it's not a good environment for bugs and germs to grow, which could, you know, cause harm to the consumer. So that's something that we always have to consider when we're talking about refilling. They're not insurmountable problems, but we have to just consider it. And CTPA has issued guidance for its members on things to consider when they're looking at refill. Again, so that consumers feel really confident that when they're going through that process, that the products they're going to refill with are going to, you know, do what they say they do and be safe for them to use. So yes, there are lots of things that we can do. It's certainly not job done, but there are lots of initiatives going on to try and help improve the sustainability and environmental credentials of our products and industry.
I mean, you talk a lot on your website, actually, about this idea of this new emergence of this green science. Mm. And, you know, I find this fascinating and very, very exciting, actually, because, of course, we're all aware that, you know, certain ways that ingredients are produced might have a negative effect on the environment. So what do you think can be done about encouraging more and more brands to use methods of creating ingredients that are just going to really aid the environment rather than have a detrimental effect on it? Do you think that's possible?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, green chemistry, that's a very well-known principle, and it's got 12 key steps. And you're right, that's very kind of you to check our website. We've got a consumer-facing website called The Facts About, and on there we explain those 12 steps. And yes, it's absolutely vitally important that our scientists involved in research and development are manufacturing according to those 12 principles of green chemistry. And so that is reducing waste, reducing energy use, trying to reduce the amount of water, making sure that you're using renewable sourcing for your ingredients. So I think scientists are very much aware of these key principles and are incorporating them into environmental research and development and new product development for our products going forward.
Okay, so I'm joined now by Mark Vida, who's the co-founder of Skip and Pharmacy, two very impressive brands, and really important for us to talk to someone like Mark today, as the focus of the show is on sustainability within the beauty sector.
And what I learned in the industry is there's a lot of marketing speak in the industry, and one of the biggest that I saw was the problem of plastic in the environment, and that the beauty industry puts 80 billion pieces of plastic into landfills every year. I now have 7-year-old twin daughters. They're starting to grow up. They were just born when I launched pharmacy. And so that problem really, really bothered me. And so that's why we started Skip, because I wanted to show the industry that there are better ways. This is a completely recyclable FSC certified paper carton that we dub beauty carton. It stands up in the shower. It's 100% recyclable. It's 91% less plastic. And we're already iterating to make it even better with a new spout and cap system that will be even more recyclable.
Yeah. And how's this being received by your customers? What are the comments? What's the feedback you're getting?
Yeah, it's been really amazing. You know, we created it with Gen Z in mind, because they are the ones that are leading the way to saving our planet. So, you know, we wanted to really connect with them. And we launched on Earth Day this year, and we've just gotten tons of press, you know, from, you know, we were on Good Morning America a week later, Forbes just wrote a big article, People Magazine, you know, lots of industry publications as well as consumer publications are just all touting it. You know, they love the carton. It's bright. It's recyclable. People are like, wow, how can a paper carton stand up in the shower? And it does. And people are just super excited about it. But more importantly, too, it's not just a marketing gimmick. It is about the paper carton, but also what's inside. I mean, we have formulas that are non-toxic. There is a special ingredient in there that is based on honey that we take off of our echinacea fields, ferment it. And so we use that, it's called G Honey Biome, as the base of this product. And the cool thing about that is that it strengthens and balances your microbiome on your skin, as well as strengthens your barrier function of your skin. So it's an amazing formula inside this amazing package.
I've come out and about to a high street. I'm in Bournemouth city centre to find out how aware people are to the need for more sustainable beauty practices and if it actually matters to them.
I'm Vicky, I'm 40 years old and I own a sports marketing company. If I found out that my favourite beauty products had chemicals and ingredients that were damaging to myself and the environment, how would I feel? Pretty annoyed. We need more legislation. We need to call out stuff now that we have more information to hand. I think that we are slowly moving to a situation where the consumer is asking more questions of companies. We only have one planet.
It seems clear to me that beauty brands are aware of the need for more sustainable practices, and consumers seem aware and want to be able to make better choices. But how can they identify whether a product they are choosing is sustainable? I put this question to David Walker-Smith, a former buying and merchandise director for beauty at Selfridges and now managing director of Generous Ape, a conscious and sustainable retailer for beauty and fashion. The other thing I just wanted to touch on briefly with you is this term greenwashing. Now, you know, we're both very savvy in terms of whether a brand's being honest, and like you say, we're willing to devote that time. We have that time to put into the research. But what do you know about brands that greenwash? What can consumers look out for?
I mean, I think it's awful, greenwashing. I mean, it shouldn't really be allowed. Some of it goes back to legislation. Mm-hmm. So if you're buying an organic cotton T-shirt from a very well-known high street retailer, only 5% of that T-shirt has to be organic cotton. Yeah. You know, so the legislation first has to change, and people just have to be honest. Mm. You know, and you know, if I was in charge, it would be against the law to do all of that.
Yeah.
Because people think they're doing good when actually they're doing no better than they were.
Yes.
So greenwashing basically is a term that is given to products or brands that aren't telling you the full truth.
So they're kind of, in terms of beauty, they're hiding behind these glossy botanical imagery and the colours that really confuse our brain.
You know, and 99% of cosmetics now, or skincare, is vegan because things aren't tested on animals.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to know more than that. You know, where do actually the ingredients come from?
Yes.
What's the packaging made of? Is it biodegradable? What's it actually going to do for me? What's it going to do to my skin?
The vegan social movement is certainly not a new thing, although in more recent years, there has been a significant rise in people making major changes to diet and lifestyle to follow a vegan approach, as well as the emergence of plant-based consumable foods and products. What then is causing this shift? Well, there appear to be a number of driving factors. Firstly, it's now clear that the agriculture of animals for human consumption is one of the greatest single contributors to global warming. Social consciousness linked to the harm of animals has been ever present, and perhaps this rise in awareness is linked to the knowledge of Gen Zers, or it could be directly linked to society being encouraged to consume less animal products. Either way, vegan is no longer a term associated with a fringe lifestyle. It's very much front and centre. So here with me now is Tim Barford, who is the creator of VegFest, Global VegFest, and more recently Plant Powered Planet magazine.
Plant-based lifestyles, as I mentioned, have been around for millennia. So it's for a lot of people, it's a return to roots. But of course, there's also a huge growing plant-based diet market, and by extension, plant-based lifestyles. So that includes beauty products, fashion products, and other products that we consume that are basically plant-based, not animal-based.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I really wanted to really get to today with you. I wanted to talk to you about the challenges of vegan beauty products within the beauty space. What challenges do you think there are for brands that are looking to emerge into the market with a vegan product? Is there anything you can foresee that they're going to have difficulties with?
There are challenges. I mean, first of all, by nature, you know, vegan beauty almost by definition sort of comes from within. And I think, you know, as people gravitate towards whole food plant-based diets alongside movement, exercise and good mental health approaches, by nature radiate, you know, the whole beauty aspect does come from within. And there's a sense of compassion too, and a sense of being fair. Mm-hmm. Through animals that produces a sense of environmental responsibility as well as the health benefits. So also, you know, meaning I think there's a consumer drop-off that we don't want to consume so much. We recognise, especially in the West, that overconsumption is a root cause of this problem. And if we're to address, especially climate change, you know, we do need to consume less generally. So with those two things in mind, which are both kind of almost saying, well, you know, we don't really need any more vegan beauty products, that's a challenge in itself. But there's a huge growing market. First of all, I'd say anybody who's making beauty products that are not vegan should switch immediately in their planning, because that's where the market's going. And you're seeing, as it were, some of the big players switching quite clearly to plant-based options.
Yeah.
Because that's where the market is clearly going.
Welcome back to the Natural Beauty Show. Now, today we're going to be talking about quite a controversial subject within the beauty industry, and that's clean beauty. If you mention the term clean beauty to anyone within the beauty industry, a debate usually commences about what it means, what it doesn't mean, the awful clean washing that exists, and what the future of the movement will be. Now, clean beauty products are actually something that I myself am a huge supporter of. Although I believe there's probably a better term to use to describe these types of products, in the main, having a title does help us all to distinguish products from each other better when we come to buy them. Clean beauty products are essentially products that exclude certain ingredients from their formulas on the basis of their questionable interaction with the human body. This list of ingredients include SLS, parabens, perfumes, PEGs, to name but a few, all of which are permitted through regulation within the UK, but all of which are known to potentially cause harm to human and environmental health. I started my own clean beauty journey back in 2016 when my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. Before this time, I had zero regard for the ingredients within the products I was using on my face and body. All I was concerned about was the performance of the product. Would it plump, cleanse, tighten, gloss, or brighten the features of my whole body? I think this is a story shared by many of us. Until more recent times, the demand for more natural products has been relatively low in comparison to the masses of synthetically derived products that have rolled off the shelves. For me, it was reading the back of one of my mum's products in her bathroom when she was going through her treatment for cancer that sparked a worrying realisation that actually quite a few of the ingredients within many of the products we were using at that time weren't ingredients that I would actually choose to use on my body. And that is now the case for a significant and growing number of people. There is huge resistance to the clean beauty movement, but this is only really coming from within the industry itself. To everyday society, providing beauty products that work just as well but that don't pose any risk to the harm of the human body or the environment makes perfect sense. And we're going to find out today that there are brands out there facing off this resistance and catering for this growing demand with high-performing and safe product options. But with no clear definition being provided by regulators, it is being left to beauty brands themselves to provide clarity and guidance for consumers. What does the term clean beauty mean at Dr. Lip?
Just to sort of start off, I think it's very confusing, this term. There is no official accreditation as to what it means. And so it's very confusing for consumers. So we try and focus on, you know, explaining to you that we're 100% natural.
Yeah.
Rather than using the term clean, because I think it's, like I said, it's confusing. But for us, what we're trying to do is we're approach the whole concept of making products that have no allergens, that have no fossil fuels, mm-hmm. have no no chemicals. There's a list of about 1,800 chemicals that are sort of bad for you that can be used in skincare sometimes, and we make sure we have none of those in there. So we're really sort of coming from two different angles: a sustainability angle, but also from a trying to make products that really have as few ingredients as possible, with full transparency so that consumers can really see what's inside in an easy way, in an easy to understand way, so they can decide for themselves whether this is something that they want to expose their skin to or not.
So clean beauty, is it just a flash in the pan, or is this movement representing the future of the beauty and cosmetics industries? Do we want safer, greener and more relatable products? Well, joining me now is Patrick Boss, the CEO of Dr. Jackson Skincare. And he's brought along Chris Jurekecz, who is his Chief Scientific Officer. Lovely to meet you both. Thank you for joining us. And okay. I just wanted to start, if I can, Patrick, by just to you as the CEO of a company that really does focus on being a science-led, sustainable, but natural beauty company. What does a clean beauty product mean to you? What is that definition to you at Dr. Jackson's?
Clean beauty as a whole is seen as, you know, the use of clean ingredients. Mm-hmm. Now, what is clean? I think we have a very holistic approach to that. It's not so much about just not being harmful to the skin, but also what it does to the system, the body itself. You know, some ingredients can also have some effect on hormonal changes and stuff like that. So I think that's one aspect. The second thing is that, you know, a lot of consumers like to have a transparent labels on the product. This is another part that I think everybody within the clean beauty industry wants to show to their customers, that, you know, we have nothing to hide. This is what we are about. What we drive is, you know, to have the best product possible, science backed. So making sure that whatever we're doing and put together in terms of ingredients, you know, they actually work.
I noticed that transformation in beauty industry overall, with an increasingly important role that ingredients play in positioning of a successful brand. And I think we all noticed that maybe 15 or 20 years ago, people didn't really know what was in their products. So maybe I could even say that they didn't really care what was in their products, but that's absolutely not the case anymore. I think people and consumers are a lot more educated nowadays and aware of all the ingredient lists, and they actually look into it and they go online and they check, what is this ingredient? What does it do? So as Patrick mentioned earlier, transparency is one of the most important things for us. You know, we make sure that always consumers know exactly what is in the ingredient list. There are no hidden ingredients, or rather there aren't any ingredients that are used as umbrella terms, such as fragrance, and then you could have a bunch of other ingredients mm-hmm. within that. So I think step one is definitely transparency. And I don't think that you need to be a chemist to navigate through all this, because nowadays I think we're lucky that there are a lot more platforms where you can actually just search up cosmetic ingredients, and then you can get a lot of information on its toxicity level. So it's a lot more accessible nowadays, which is very good. This is a part of the movement of clean beauty industry.
Joining me now is Rowena Bird, co-founder of Lush. Let's start to talk a bit more about women in the industry. You know, I'm really aware of the responsibilities I have as a female coming into this industry. I also have daughters. And, you know, I do feel a humongous responsibility to how I present my brand, what it is I want to achieve with it, and the responsibility that then falls on my shoulders. How do you feel about that? I mean, you're an iconic woman within the industry. I often talk a lot about Anita Roddick and a lot of the changes she made when she set up Body Shop to our whole mentality against testing on animals. Do you think a beauty brand is just a company if you're a female founder, or do you think there's a lot more opportunity to achieve much more than this?
Oh, no, there's huge opportunity. I mean, I've never really thought of myself as a female founder, but I think we're being forced to think of it. I suppose having worked with Mark Constantine and the team now for 40 years, it is what it is. I've never had to think, I'm a woman, that's why I can't do that, or I'm a woman, I'm going to do this. I've just done it.
Yeah.
And I've been given those opportunities, but I am sort of aware that that is not the case everywhere. And sometimes we do have to fight. Whatever you do, never ever have the mentality, oh, I'm a woman, therefore I can't do that, or I'm female, therefore I can't do that. Yes, you can do anything you like.
Anna Brightman, co-founder of Upcircle Beauty. Now, you actually have been recognised as an industry role model. You've been recently listed by Elle as one of the top 9 entrepreneurs changing the beauty landscape for the better. What a wonderful title to be given. I mean, that's amazing. Such a privilege, yeah. But how did you feel entering this humongous marketplace as a start-out entrepreneur?
Oh, I mean, it's such an interesting one for me specifically. I feel like I've always considered myself quite, a strong, independent woman, not to fall on that classic cliche. But I never knew what I wanted to do as my career. And I've always considered myself quite creative. And in the first couple of years out of university, I was doing all sorts of different jobs. But what I found often was that I was ending up in managerial positions where I was managing people. And often those people were teams of largely men. Mm-hmm. So in property management, for example, I was dealing with painters, decorators, etc. And I felt like I was quite good at that balance of kind of gaining trust, but also respect. And it's something that is incredibly important to me. However, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't extremely intimidated going into the, you know, actually starting your own business as a female founder is undoubtedly intimidating. But I've learned so much along the way, and the frustrations that I've had with being a co-founder with my brother have really propelled me forwards to making big changes in this space for future female entrepreneurs, because I take a lot of time with mentorship and going into secondary schools and universities to give lectures and careers talks and things like that, because I think it is just so important that more people have the courage to go it alone and try their hand at being their own boss. Why not? It's the best thing in the world, if you ask me. But, you know, given that I've done this alongside my brother, it if anything, reinstills in me the fact that so much more progress needs to be made.
For decades, discussing the menopause has been a complete social taboo. Even within female circles, this hasn't been a topic that's up for open discussion. And as a result, millions of women experiencing the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause have often been unaware of this monumental point in their biological life is behind the physical, mental and emotional shifts they're feeling. Joining me now to explain in much better detail than I can is Heather Jackson, co-founder of Gen M.
If we as intelligent, relatively intelligent women who've absolutely controlled everything in their lives, from the careers to when I had my kids and to how I was planning everything, if we could be knocked so sideways by something we never saw coming, we weren't idiots. You know, we weren't, everyone else would be doing the same. And when we've got more women now than ever before, you know, there's more women in the biggest growing demographic of the working population is women over 40. Yeah. You know, it's incredible. And the fact that we're already know that we're the first generation of women to live longer post-reproduction than pre-reproduction if we don't get knocked over by a bus sort of thing. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was like, how can we let this happen? And so we started to look into it, and we were going to build the one-stop site for everything. You know, we had this great illusion that we were going to have the Google of the menopause. Everything great would come through us, and we'd traffic it that way. But actually what we realised, and before we did it, we did some research, because Sam's a very much scientific one behind everything. And whereas I go with a gut reaction, Sam needs evidence. And I'd gone, well, we are invisible. We're just invisible to brands and organizations. She said, no, we're going to do some research. So we did a very credible set of research. We brought in an agency who looked at everything, and we built what was called the invisibility report. And from that, you know, it really clearly shared there was a big problem with how women in middle life, and especially menopause, were feeling and seen towards society, to brands, you know, to workplace, with 97% of menopausal women believing that brands needed to do better and work harder for them. You know, 87% felt overlooked by society and the companies that they were working for. I mean, you've seen lots of stats recently on this and how women are feeling in the workplace, but it also highlighted as well that the majority of women only could name three out of what we classed as 48 symptoms of menopause. With all our research, we came to credible medical and clinical symptoms, and there's 48. Now, when we're all complaining about life not understanding the menopause and it being a taboo subject, if we as women don't know what symptoms we're looking for, how can we expect men, how can we expect organisations, and how can we expect brands to cater for us when even we don't know what all the symptoms are? It's just not been a priority in anyone's list and top of the agenda. But right now, there's 2% of the UK audience that are vegan per se, you know, completely vegan. And you look at the money that's spent by companies on understanding them, new product development, merchandising, marketing, signposting to them, and actually learning how not to narc them off as well, because you don't want to narc off a vegan, do you? You know, I mean, and I say that I because my daughter's one. So, but again, you know, you look at that 2% now, times that 2% by 10, and you get the menopausal audience. Yeah, 20% of the UK market is menopausal, and there's no signposting, there's no marketing, we're just not out there. Gen M are working alongside our 48 founders to absolutely bring out the world's first menopause friendly badge to go up beside gluten free and vegan, and to go on beauty products, femcare, clothes, bedding, food, so that we as women, you know, let's be honest, when the menopause hits or the perimenopause, it's the most inconvenient time of your life. You know, you're a busy person anyway. You need this like a hole in the head. Yeah. So actually, you need solutions that work for you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 Regenex clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back now with a show that's looking back on some of the most interesting bits of information that we've gathered so far on the Natural Beauty Show. We're going to end now by looking at one of the most inspirational shows that I feel like we've had over the last few weeks. And that was a climate change special with Melanie Bender, the president of VIRST.
If we push past 1.5 degrees in warming, 1.7 billion people globally will be at risk of water insecurity. 1.3 billion globally will be at risk of extreme heat events. 1 billion children globally will be extremely at risk. Needing to cut global emissions in half over the next 9 years, that comes down to what we do within the next year. Running out of time, and people are finally getting it. We can be a part of leading what is without doubt the most greatest issue that we will face as a generation, because really there is no more finite resource than this earth. You know, as someone who's been in sustainability now for almost 20 years, I can really feel that we're at this incredible inflection point, the steepest point of the curve in what looks like hyperbolic growth of both consumers and businesses really being committed to being a part of that change. I think what we have to be really honest with ourselves about is that when we are newer to a movement and newer to a field, that means we don't know as much. And, you know, I think where I see challenges for the beauty industry and for the beauty consumer as well is either misinformation or not looking at the full picture, getting very focused on kind of smaller parts without being able to piece together all the different considerations that really impact us. And one of the things that, you know, I really like to have conversation around is, and was truly the jumping up point for Code Red for Climate, is how are we defining sustainability? How are we setting our priorities? You know, in beauty, we love to talk about landfill waste, and landfill waste is certainly an issue that impacts so many of us and will be a scar that we're leaving on the planet. But I think we all know that climate is a code red. Climate is what is truly one of the greatest issues that we will face. And I asked that question to beauty founders, you know, do you believe that climate change is one of the greatest threats to humanity? And every single person I've asked that to has said yes. And yet I know that if we look at our sustainability programs, where are we making investments? Where are we talking to our consumer? That will not be reflected. Unfortunately, there is a disconnect between the majority of the population believing that government should be doing more to address climate change and what's actually being legislated. It's not enough to care. We must act, and we must act together. Our ability to hit these targets, to take ourselves back on a path to a stable climate, it will come down to the next year. We're past the point of little changes getting us there. And I think that's a really stark truth that we have to hear.
B beauty industry always actually has had a role in political movements anyway. If we think back to Anita Roddick of The Body Shop, you know, she was really at the forefront of taking beauty and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. And, well, you need to wake up to some quite disastrous procedures that are being allowed to just happen. And we saw that with her fight against testing on animals. And the result was monumental. It really started to change mindsets and change consumer habits. Consumers suddenly became more aware of what they were purchasing, and the pressure was on all of the brands really to make those changes. So let's talk about Code Red for Climate and what you wanted to achieve with that, bring those brands together. And what do you think that political movement has been as a result?
You know, it started with a lot of reflection earlier in the year that, you know, as an industry, let's face it, we've been part of the problem of really building up a lot of consumer demand and not taking that accountability for our business. And when the latest IPCC report came out, it really felt like a change in culture, like a change in how we thought about the urgency around climate change and our role in it. And to me, that felt like not only an opportunity, but a true need as we're staring down a timeline of needing to cut global emissions in half over the next 9 years. That comes down to what we do within the next year, because those changes need to be made at a societal level. I, as Melanie Bender, or even my brand as Verse, cannot have that impact alone. We need to act, and most specifically, we need the governments of the largest contributors to be acting. And it was really with that recognition that we're running out of time and people are finally getting it, that it felt like the time to come together. And it really started very simply with a text to one other founder, to Joe, the founder of Use to the People, who's an incredible leader, you know, a brand that everyone looks to, but also a lot of social accountability. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I have this crazy idea. I want to blackhead the beauty industry for a day and use it to mobilize action around climate change. Will you do it with me? And he said, yes. And from there, we started texting different brands and founders. We had about 45 days to pull it together. We crossed the finish line with actually over 250 brands, wow. Everyone from Milk Makeup to Briogeo, Uoma, Elf Cosmetics, you know, certainly a long list of the most influential brands within beauty. So I'm going to be honest, we're past the point of little changes getting us there. And I think that's a really stark truth that we have to hear. You know, I know we love the idea of progress over perfection, but there are timelines that are quite dire. And unfortunately, we have known about climate change for now over 30 years, and we have done far, far too little. So there are certainly things that you can do at home. I know for me in Los Angeles, I was able to switch over my power source to renewable energy. I did that through my local energy provider. Mm-hmm. So I encourage everyone to get in contact with their local energy provider, understanding what renewable energy sources are available. A huge amount of the energy that we consume comes through our home. And if that switches over to renewable, then that entire climate footprint is really averted. Of course, how we use transportation is incredibly important. If you don't have an electric vehicle or a hybrid, think about where you can walk, where you can bike, how you can carpool. Other really large drivers are air travel. So, you know, think carefully about how you're getting places, as well as the heating and cooling within our homes. If it's in winter right now, see if you can tick down that thermostat a few degrees and save some of the energy consumption there. But really, and I can't underscore this enough, if we want to get there in time, it needs to happen at the societal level. The only way is through our government leading. So do the things at home. It's meaningful to take that personal responsibility, but know that to have the impact, you need to make your voice heard. You need to be represented by our lawmakers.
Let's turn our attention to the brand spotlight part of the show now, where we deep dive into a brand that's really worth some of your attention. Joining us today is Carrie Marsh, head spray tan artist for beauty brand Norvel Tanning. And this is a really interesting one, guys, because these are the spray tan artists that look after all of the stars on the Strictly Come Dancing TV show. So welcome to the show, Carrie. Lovely to have you with us. Let's start by you telling us a bit about the brand and why it's so exclusive.
So Norvel is made in America. It's the number one spray tan brand in America, and hopefully is going to be the number one spray tan in the UK. But it's innovative because it's formulated with such lovely ingredients. It's got a very unique blend of botanical and antioxidant ingredients. So it's very natural. It's paraben free. It's vegan. It's non-comedogenic.
Yeah. I know. Get your lips around that one.
I know. It's nut allergen free and it's gluten friendly. So it's very, very natural. It puts lovely ingredients back into the skin. So it's more of a beauty treatment as well as a tanning treatment. So you've got an all rounder there, really.
And that's quite unique, isn't it, for tanning products? Because actually, traditionally, they've been quite full of synthetic, harmful chemicals, really, that get right into the skin, right into the pores and perhaps into the bloodstream. And, we're all familiar with that baking smell that we can get. And, you know, that's often caused by those chemical based ingredients, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's another lovely thing about this brand. There's no horrible smell. Mm. So, you don't get that really sort. It's sort of like the baked biscuit smell. Don't get that with Norvel. It is just the best tanning product I've ever worked with. And I've been in the industry for over 20 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk a bit about Strictly. How on earth did you come to be the spray tan experts for this show?
So through my company, JK Health and Beauty, we are the UK and European distributor for Norvel. So Strictly Come Dancing approached my company, and we've been doing it for over 6 years now.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's really excellent. And what is the fascination, especially within the sort of the professional dancing world? There's a real trend, isn't there, to have that lovely sort of tan, glowy skin. Where do you think that comes from?
A couple of reasons, I think, because a lot of the outfits that the ladies wear especially are quite sort of, I wouldn't say skimpy, but, short dresses, so their legs are exposed, strapless or strappy, so their arms and chest are exposed. And also with the lighting as well, especially in a studio environment, the lighting's quite bright. So, it can make someone look a bit sort of drained on set. So if they've got that lovely tan, then, their skin's just going to pop in the outfit and actually while they're in the studio as well.
And who's been your favourite person, your favourite celeb on the current show to tan?
Oh gosh, there's so many, because every year they're all amazing and they're all so up for it and it's so exciting, and a lot of people come and they've never had a tan before. Yeah.
Especially the men, I imagine. Oh, I imagine the men, it's brand new to them, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And it's really funny because the first sort of week or two, they're still a little bit sort of, oh, I don't want to go too dark, I don't know how I'm going to look. I've never had a tan before. And by week 3, 4, oh, I could go a bit darker. Oh, what's the darkest tan? So, by then they're absolutely hooked and they want the darkest spray possible. It's really funny.
And do you think that's because of the feel-good factor? I mean, we all feel good, don't we, when we've got that sun-kissed look? And do you think that comes into it, that the tan makes you feel better about yourself?
Definitely, 100%. Having a tan does make you feel much better. You feel like you look better in your clothes. Mm-hmm. It gives you more confidence. Also, as well, having a tan can make you appear a little bit slimmer. So there's that as well. There's so many different benefits from having a tan.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I often say, obviously this is a beauty focused show, but beauty actually is way more than a vanity project. It is about self-esteem, isn't it? It's about how you present yourself to the world and how that makes you feel inside. It's hugely attached to your self-esteem, isn't it?
And
tell me about a bit more about the brand philosophy. What made you decide to create a tanning product that had the more natural ingredients within it?
Yeah, I think it's because obviously the market, you see it change over the years, and a lot of people are very much more conscious about what they put in their body and what they use on their body. So the fact that all of the ingredients within our products, they're very natural, they're not 100% organic because we can't claim that they're 100% organic, but a lot of the ingredients we use are from organic sources. So that's what sort of made us think, you know what, there's a niche in the market for this. You know, this can really work over here in the UK. It's massive in America. And obviously we always seem to follow suit in the UK from America. So there's no reason why, you know, we couldn't make it work over here. And we have, you know, it's a very popular brand over here. Seem to be the number one in the UK, I hope.
Amazing. Yeah, that would be amazing. And where can our listeners, if they're listening in now thinking, oh, I love tanning and I'm really not happy with the ingredients within the product I'm currently using, where can they go about achieving a Norvel tan? Where can they get one?
So they can go to our website, which is norveltanning.co.uk. They can go to our Instagram, which is Norvel Tanning, and they can make contact through any of those avenues. If it's a professional tan that they're looking for, they can also contact us and we can guide them to their local salon or spray tan artist that will be able to spray them. We also do a massive range of retail products so they can actually do their own tan at home as well. So, you know, we're covering all bases.
Brilliant. And what I'm often asked to ask questions like this when we're talking to tanning. Obviously, some people are a bit nervous about tanning. I've got the funniest story, actually. When I was at university, I'm sure my friend won't mind me mind sharing this, but my friend, she loved self tanning, but she was terrible at exfoliating, and so she'd often be left with the horrible, very orange knuckles and kneecaps and elbows. How do people avoid those horrible mishaps? Because I think that puts people off, doesn't it, doing it at home?
Definitely. I mean, one of our brands has a violet technology in it, so tanning itself is a very sort of scientific process a lot of people don't realize, and it's all about the pH balance in your skin. So a lot of things from outside sources can affect the pH balance in your skin. So, you know, sweat, perfume, moisturizer, what shower gel you use. So we work with products that prepare the skin before your tan to try and prevent that from happening. And then some of the ingredients in some of our ranges of tan have violet technology in them. So it will counteract any orange or brassiness. To get away from the problems with hands and feet, a lot of people make the mistake of putting too much product on their hands and feet. And obviously those areas are the driest areas of your body because they're exposed and, you know, you often don't cream them as often as you should. So it's minimal amount of product on those particular areas. So I never overspray on hands and feet. When you're spraying someone, the product will naturally fall anyway, so you're going to get some sort of exposure on your hands and feet. So it's just a very light spray over hands and feet. If you're applying it yourself with the mitt, once you've applied all over your body, don't add any more product onto the mitt and just gently over your hands and over your feet, and that's all you need.
And the violet technology, presumably that works really similar to the kind of violet toner that people use in their hair when they use highlighters. It's the same concept, isn't it? It's that purple tone that reduces the orange, similar to what we use on our faces now as well, isn't it? It's all over, we can use the violet. And of course, I've been asked to check in with you. Who do you think is going to win Strictly this year?
I couldn't possibly say, but I think it's a tough one because they're all so good this year.
They are.
Rose has absolutely knocked me off my feet. You know, her dances twice have now made me cry.
Yeah.
She's just amazing, you know, the way she dances, it just looks so flawless. So I think she's in the running for winning.
Amazing. Oh, good. We'll keep our eyes on her. But great advertising for the Norvel products as well, isn't it? You know, there are, primetime TV every week, and people can see it in action. They can actually see, well, this is what you're going to look like, you know. Brilliant. Well, we know where we need to go and grab these tanning products. Thanks ever so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to check it out because I'm looking disgustingly white at the moment. I hate my winter skin. Actually, it's 2 years of not going abroad as well. That doesn't help, does it?
That's the good thing, you know, at least you can still get a tan even if you can't go on holiday.
Yeah, exactly. Tan for Christmas.
Exactly, yeah.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.